at Helena, Montana, May 12, 1950.
United States of America. Also, the introduction from Governor Bonner. I think he's given me a little too much credit, but I appreciate it just the same. The governor was with me yesterday at Grand Coulee, when I had the privilege of dedicating Grand Coulee Dam. That dam is just about the biggest man-made structure in the world. It is generating more power than any other power plant in existence. And in a few years, it'll be providing water for hundreds of thousands of acres. Grand Coulee is a product of the vision and farsightedness of the people of the Northwest, people who can make bold plans for the future. And they not only can make the bold plans, but they have the courage and the energy to carry them out. I'm glad that Canyon Ferry Dam is being built not far from here. While Canyon Ferry Dam is not as big as Grand Coulee, it'll be of tremendous importance and benefit to all this area. It should provide water for nearly 500,000 acres. And the power from Grand Ferry, or Canyon Ferry, will mean low-cost electricity for farms, city homes, and new industries. Projects like Canyon Ferry benefit everybody in the country. They are a real investment in the future of the nation as a whole. You only have to travel across the country, as I've been doing this week, to realize what a wonderful future is ahead of us. Everywhere I've been, I've seen encouraging evidence of expansion and growth in preparation for future prosperity. Of course, I've met a few skeptics who've been saying that the country's going to the dome. They say that we're going bankrupt, or that we're headed straight for socialism. But the fact is, these calamity hollers have been saying the same thing for years. They've always been wrong in the past, and they're just as wrong now as they were in the past. Let's take a look at some of the recent progress we've made. Progress, by the way, that we made in spite of these same skeptics. 3 years ago, it was the beginning of a terrible depression. It lasted over 3 long years. Beginning in 1933, we began a vigorous reform. By 1939, we were producing more goods and services than we had in the last boom year before the Depression. Since 1939, we've done even better. Since 1939, the annual per capita income of our citizens, after taxes, has increased by more than 40%. The income of farm owners, although it has slipped down the last year or so, is more than 50% higher than it was in 1939. Annual wages and salaries of employees have increased about 75%. And despite the terrible howling from some quarters, the annual income of corporate businesses after taxes has increased 100% since 1939. Doesn't look very much to me like the country's going to dog. I'm convinced that we can do just as well in the future as we have done in the past. I'm convinced that we can lift our annual output of goods and services to more than $350 billion by 1960. This will be a one-third increase. And that increase will be good for everybody. Farmers and workers and businessmen can and should all prosper together. I'm convinced that by 1960, the standard of living of every industrious family in the country will be far better than it is now. I wish I had time to give you some statistics that come to me each month. I know if you had a chance to study them, you would be just as optimistic and enthusiastic about our future as I am. Every month, and then quarterly, I receive an economic report from the economic advisors to the President of the United States. And that report goes into great detail on the situation as it develops in the country each month. The reason I'm optimistic, this report shows that employment is on the rise, that income is on the rise, and that prices are holding steady. It shows that the Unemployment now is far less than it was at the beginning of the year. It shows that the output of goods and services is far greater than it was at the beginning of the year. And I think, as a result of that report, which is a combination of all the reports in the country, this report is made up from reports by the Securities and Exchange Commission, reports by the Department of Labor, reports by the economic experts on the Board of Trade, on the New York Stock Exchange, reports by experts in the Chicago Board of Trade, reports from all the departments of the government, the Department of Commerce, the Treasury Department. The reason I was delayed a little bit, the Secretary of the Treasury had to call up and talk to me about some business that had to be transacted over the telephone. But this report gives a complete picture of the economic situation in the United States every 30 days. And I know what I'm talking about when I talk to you optimistically about what the future holds. And don't let anybody tell you anything different but that this republic, the greatest in the history of the world, is on the road to become greater and greater. And when you do that, you get peace in the world. Of course, this won't all happen by just sitting down and waiting for it to happen. You've got to do something to make it happen. We work toward the kind of farm program that will put farming on a permanent sound basis. We need to expand and extend our Social Security laws. We need a housing program that will enable low and middle income families to own their own homes. We must conserve and develop our national resources to better advantage, and they must be developed in the public interest and not for the greed boys. We must see that our children get a good education. If we have these measures and others like them, then the United States will continue to grow and to prosper, and our nation will continue to exert a strong force for peace in the world. Since September the 2nd, 1945, my whole time has been spent in an effort and an endeavor to get a lasting peace for the world. One of the first decisions I had to make when I was sworn in as President of the United States on April the 12th after President Roosevelt had died was a decision as to whether we should hold the San Francisco Conference and organize the United Nations. I said, yes, we'll go forward with it. We were successful in organizing the United Nations, and we're going to be successful in making it work for peace. And to do that, we must have the wholehearted support of the people of the United States for that purpose. That's the reason I'm going around all the country reporting to you on just what conditions are and what's necessary to obtain the world objective for which we work and pray. I hope that you inform yourself completely on all the issues. I hope you find out just exactly what's meant by the messages which I send to the Congress. I hope you find out just exactly what the debates in the Congress mean. And I hope you study very carefully those people who are trying to, the remarks of those people who are trying to overturn our interest in the United Nations and who are trying to put us back in the 1890s. We're not going back. We're going forward to 1960, and 1970, and 1980, and 2000. We're going to be better after each decade than we were when we started on that decade. And we do that if you are wholeheartedly helping to do it and working to do it. That's all I'm asking you to do. Let's bring my mouth here. Thank you very much.